Paul, right, and Jordan. Oh, and thank you. Sorry. Oh, yes, and Justin. Thank you. That's. And Pam. My goodness, that's awesome. Okay, and also from the borough assembly, we have Kelly and Hal Smalley and Tyson. And we have regrets from Brent Johnson. There was a family emergency, and he had planned on being here. Other elected, from the State House of Representatives, we have Gary Knopp. Thank you.
Senator Michicki will be here, but he's running late. He's in another meeting.
Okay, so thank you so much. I mean, I think that's indicative of the importance of this meeting, and I appreciate it from those people who are my representatives, particularly, that they're coming here. Also, let's see, other introductions, Michelle? Are there other introductions? Okay. So, and your microphone, you're going to wander with your microphone. Obviously, I am not.
When it comes to that time, yes.
So, at this time, we'd like to hear from Tammy, and she's going to give us an update. So, thank you.
In case you don't know, this is Tammy Willis, and this is part of the reason we are here today. And we're going to let her update her status and where things are. And
thank you. Forgive me. This is very overwhelming seeing so many people here, seeing a lot of faces that are familiar, some faces that aren't familiar. And it's been a very overwhelming several weeks. I appreciate Sedalton Police being here. When I made my post, I had hoped to keep this matter somewhat private. The idea that I could try to move on, put my life back together, and give as little attention to hate as possible. I've been very lucky because I do have a safe place to go. Based on where I work at Kenai Peninsula College, I'm able to stay in the residence hall. I have friends and family that have stood up to support me all the way around. Sedalton Police have always been a partner with us in what we do at KPC and working with our students. And unfortunately, the Monday before Christmas Eve, I hit a frustration level and just not feeling like anything was moving forward. So I made a post on Facebook that was based on a lot of assumptions. And since then, the Sedalton Police have shared information with me. Representative Tarr has shared information with me. Peter Michicki has gotten involved and shared information with me. And it's helped to correct a lot of my assumptions. So I want to first apologize to the Sedalton Police because they kind of took a little bit of the brunt of my frustration when it really wasn't deserved. You know, they were doing what they could do. And they did what they could do and such. And I just... full of assumptions and full of frustration. So please pass on my apologies to the rest of the Sedalton Police and the troopers. That being said, you know, the Sedalton Police do, and the troopers do have a big job ahead of them because I don't have a great description of the person who did this. Three incidences, and one, I never saw someone. One, I saw a shadowy figure, and two, I saw a very blurry shadowy figure. So I can't be of much more help. I'm hoping that this individual is going to run their mouth, talk to people, and get the word, you know, somehow brag or whatever, and we're going to be able to do some tracking down that way. The FBI has contacted me as well, and they're looking to see if this might rise to the level of a federal hate crime. I'm hopefully here back in another, you know, few days or so. But I do want to thank the Sedalton Police for everything they've done to try to help. They've been doing patrols around the residence hall and, you know, just keeping an extra eye out, and I appreciate that. Other than that, I think the biggest update that I have is that, you know, my wounds have healed on the outside. They're starting to heal on the inside. And the turnout that from you guys, the response I've gotten from Facebook, all these people that I don't know and didn't know me reaching out saying, you know, we love you, we support you, we you know, accept you for who you are, has really been a source of strength for me and my wife to get through this. We still have a lot of healing to do, But when I look around and I see that, you know, my community consists of so much more and so many more people than I ever thought it did, it really means a lot, because I feel safer. I feel more secure knowing that I got people out there who are advocating for the LGBT community. And like I said before, I am privileged. I am so privileged because I have a safe place to stay. I have friends and family who are able to support me and keep me safe. But there's a lot of people out in the world who don't have what I have. And it's really, really important to me that it's not just be about me. You guys have risen up to support me in ways I've never imagined. And I'm asking you guys to stand up and support each other and support other members of the LGBTQ community who doesn't have the same safe nets that I do. You know, we're a very vulnerable population to start with. You know, coming out, a lot of people end up losing their families by coming out. You know, a lot of people are on the streets. 42% of the homeless youth here in Alaska are gay or lesbian or transgender. You know, we can do better. I don't want to stand up here and say, you know, this act of violence is the reason why we should do better. We've always needed to do better. And I'm sorry that I had to bring it to attention this way, because this is not the way I wanted to do it. But now that we have everybody's attention, I'm really hoping that this community, the people who have gathered in this room here, will help me work to do better, will help Leslie Bird, Royce, my wife, Audrey, everybody here do better. So thank you.
Keeping in mind the kind of the guidelines for what we're doing, we're going to start out and ask for people from the LGBTQ community who would like to share whatever they'd like to share, their challenges, their joys, what's going on in the community from their own personal perspective. And Michelle will have a microphone. And so if you would like to raise your hand, she will deliver the microphone to you. And
Hi, my name is Matthew, and I've been a resident of Kenai, Alaska for, in April, it'll be 4 years, and I came from California, where a lot of these issues are, I guess, not really much of issues. Like, we have totally different issues over there, but there's laws already in place, and we have workshops, and we have LGBT clubs and committees and buildings dedicated to just helping that community down there. And when I moved up here, I knew I was moving to Alaska, where there's not, I guess, that big of a community. But actually, when I came in here, I was wrong. This is a pretty big community. But I would like to see more workshops and more buildings dedicated to us, like to reaching out, because I didn't know, like just like she did, I didn't know that there were so many supporters in my area here. And I actually have a loved one, a friend, really good one, and she lives in terror, like she's scared. And I'm always trying to tell her, it's like, but we live in a really good community. We have a lot of people around us that support us. But she doesn't feel that, because when she goes to the grocery store or when she goes to pay her bills, there's nothing. Like, there's no building that says, you are welcomed here, come in and let's talk, let's hang out, let's play pool. And so, yeah, she lives like that. And I understand where she's coming from, because, I mean, I haven't.
Is that a good song?
I just want to say I think it's really great that we have a big community here, and it would be nice to see more.
Thank you.
And if you have statements from other people or stories from other people, those can be read as well.
Hi. This is on behalf of one of my students. For those of you who don't know, my name is Leslie Bird, and I run the LGBT Alliance over at KPC. It's not a student organization, it's actually a community organization, and it's open to everyone. And several of my students didn't feel comfortable outing themselves in such a venue today. So, most of my experience of being LGBT on the peninsula has been positive and encouraging. When I came out, there was some understandable confusion, but mostly supportiveness. I went to the DMV and the person working was really nice about it, even when I was asking about the legal process involved in changing the sex marker on my ID. However, I can't go to the meeting because it could endanger my family and my school, which maybe you should also say. As positive as my overall experience has been, with this kind of happening, now we have to worry about who we're endangering by advocating for our own safety. I would have loved to have been there to work on proposing ideas to better our community. And then a second message from someone else who's an ally. I did consider sharing the post about this event and the incidents that led up to this event, but I am afraid of endangering my family. I do not condone this violence, but I'm afraid that if I were to post this, I might make my home the next target.
Does anyone else want to share or have a story they'd like to read? We'll get to questions in a few minutes. I'm coming.
So I wrote this with the intention of highlighting how intense the darker side of all of this is, that this is a real issue that is common here. Hello, my name is Kagan. Thank you to everyone who took time today to attend this safety meeting. I had previously asked if someone on my social media could provide me with an anonymous story so I could show the extent to which LGBTQ harassment had deeply rooted itself in our community. Two students reached out to me knowing I would be speaking at today's meeting. At the beginning of the year, these two LGBTQ students, including many more open LGBTQ students throughout Soldotna's Middle and High Schools, were targeted by an unknown amount of Soldotna students on Instagram. These unknown students created fake Instagram accounts so they may send messages to others in LGBTQ community. I'll read some of these messages. Every time I point up like this, that is referring to a homophobic slur or the F word. These messages included, "Go kill yourself, you," and "You're a freak, and you are all just doing this for attention, and go kill yourself, you." Among these messages, including anti-LGBTQ homophobic posts containing many racial and homophobic slurs, as well as other inappropriate content. When blocked, the perpetrators of these accounts simply made new ones to continue the brutal onslaught. Coupled with the depression so often found among students placed in these horrifying situations and spots, both students told me how compelled they were to perform self-harm and how their friends felt the same. And when these students found out the identity of some of the people making these terrible accounts, they went to school teachers and principals, pleading for help, but the teachers waved it off, saying they couldn't do anything due to it being off school property. That was the end of the conversation. No calls to parents, no attempt to console the student victims, no informing of any of this to anyone. That was it. End of the conversation. More of my fellow students came to me, informing me of walks in the park where they were harassed for their clothing, for the fact that they were seen wearing pride gear and supporting pride events. Go kill yourself, you. You never should have been born, you. Other students told me of constant threats of violence, confrontations that never seemed to stop, simply because of their involvement in LGBTQ pride events. Other students confiding in me about posters made and hung of them with sexually explicit and offensive captions placed weekly for constant mockery. I have been followed down empty streets with my friends by cars that screamed obscenities, unsure that I'd make it back home to my family because of a rainbow-colored pin on a rather long jacket. December 9th, a horrifying event occurred, and the self-assuring words of sympathy I've heard from our Soldotna community is, "What a horrible thing to do. I can't believe someone would do that here." I can. The 11 students who are involved in my stories can. The many students who are too afraid to say anything at all anymore can. Go kill yourself, you. Where do kids learn these words? Why do kids think this is okay? The simple answer is adults, the people who time and time again practice these atrocious slurs, who laugh at these atrocities, is us teaching our children to have no empathy for our fellow people simply because we aren't in the room. I didn't hear you say it. Who would have thought I'd heard it from your kid? I don't know what else to say. When I speak, the problem is obvious to me and many of you, but a lot of people don't have someone in your social circles who feel that they can talk to you about this harassment. Many of you live today only seeing this issue when it bursts in raging pus-filled discharge, unaware of the constant beratement under it all. If you truly are open to believing this is an issue, let us be the sign. Go kill yourself, you. How can we decide that isn't enough? When did we decide that wasn't enough? Thank you.
Anyone else have stories to share or would like to speak that's in the LGBTQ community?
Hi, my name is Hosanna. And, you know, when you get older, you get more vulnerable. I've had the privilege of serving a population that many people in recovery healing from some terrible things that they may or may not have done to others. And I used to could talk my way out of a paper bag, and I can't anymore. I'm frail-er, still tough, but frail. But we got a telephone call the other day from a friend. And she was panicked. She lives in Anchorage, and she read the story. She read the story of what has happened here. And she's terrified for us. And this is an ally. And I was terrified when I heard the story. But for some reason, I guess I still think I'm invincible, even though I know I'm not. But the truth is, I'm becoming more afraid. I moved down here like you 3.5 years ago. And because I have MS and have gotten sick, I really haven't navigated out in the community, and I felt somewhat isolated. But like everyone else walking in here, I'm very, very hopeful and optimistic that we can make change and perhaps make a more welcoming community. I had heard of a story, and but I didn't know the details, but I knew that somebody's mother and father were really suffering, and it had to do with the high school and what you read, what you wrote, Kagan, and I'm very sorry for that. So whatever we need to do, we're here. We're queer, and we'll do it.
Anyone else? Y'all are giving me a workout today.
Hello, my name is Raymond. Crossed out, for your guys' benefit, some of my two pages of words here so it can be a little shorter. But all right, so I appreciate the few of you who have shown up here to hear what we have to say and to otherwise just be part of this community in this situation. Action is important. It can't just be the actions of those who are gay, bisexual, transgender, non-binary, intersex. It's got to be from allies as well. The term ally is a verb, and you must act in our favor too. So part of what we're here to talk about is what can be done on a more tangible level. One, I have three things in mind. The first thing is take LGBTI+ sensitivity training courses. We have our own unique issues as a whole, we're not a small minority when you lump us all together, sexuality, gender, so on. You can start by reaching out to local LGBT organizations, build connections with those organizations, make their relationship symbiotic, like communicate, rely on each other. You can contact other police departments or political offices in areas that are more resourceful than ours, where they have had successes in training their staff to handle situations that involve people like us. It's totally fine to model your own process after somebody else's when it works. The second thing that came to mind was we gotta report hate crimes to the FBI. This already came up. Hate crime laws on a federal level include LGBT protections. Many states, including Alaska, though, do not define our hate crimes to include the LGBT, who, again, are not a small minority. Hate crimes are federally defined to include the protection of sexual orientation and gender identity. The Matthew Shepard James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009 is the first statute allowing federal criminal prosecution of hate crimes motivated by the victim's actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. People assume that simply because a case like this one provides a good sentence for the offender and a good compensation for the victim eventually, that it doesn't matter if it gets labeled as a hate crime, but it does matter. It's necessary. We need to be accounted for. Current Alaska law does not require that you report this as a hate crime to the International Hate Crime Database, which is what the FBI relies on for this information. How can you expect widespread legal support and resources if it looks like there isn't a problem in the first place? In fact, the parents of the gay boy who was killed and whose name is part of the Shepherd Bird Hate Crime Act presented at the Lusick Library in Anchorage this last September to protest Alaska's lack of hate crime law coverage for people like their son. And Judy Shepherd's comment was, data is critical to know what the problem is and where it is. If we don't have the data, we don't know where to help. And the last thing I have to say or have to suggest is you can publicly denounce hate crimes like this one. Let everyone know that violence against us is not tolerated on a political and legal level. This is not asking a lot. This needs to be done because if this crime remains under the radar, copycat crimes are likely to crop up. People who share the same views as the assailant will be empowered by the silence, and the chance of mortality of people like me raises higher than it already is. We are subject to higher incidences of violence than most people you will meet. And I'll end it by saying, a year ago, a prominent transgender woman and advocate in the Anchorage community committed suicide. Her name was Andrea Redeker. The community was distraught. Many of my non-trans friends were asking what they could do to support us trans people. And my response was somber, and I'll say it again, but slightly tailored to the situation to include what has recently happened here. Support is about making space for our grief. It's advocating for us when your friends, family, and colleagues are bashing our rights or misgendering us. It's donating to, advocating for, and voting for movements and fighting homophobic and transphobic laws. It's helping our words be heard. We die in the willful silence of the people around us. Even our closest friends and family can't repair the damage that society causes. I'm speaking from experience. How society treats us needs to change. People cannot be sustained on others treating them as straw man stereotypes everywhere they go. The doctor, the bank, the school, the police, grocery stores, even at home. We know our loved ones loved us, and that means more than you may realize, but human existence consists of more than just love from friends and family. The rest may not always be as important, but it's still substantial, and it can't be neglected. We need freedom. We need justice. We need our humanity. And most of the time, all of that is more than our closest allies can give us. And that's where everyone comes in. That's where everyone else comes in. You can advocate for LGBT inclusion in hate crime laws. You can advocate for our safety. You're not picking political sides in doing so because we are not political. We are tangible, very real human beings, and politicizing us dehumanizes us. We're not a shade of red and blue. We're a whole rainbow, and we need you. Thank you for your time.
So I need to speak. I am an ally, and you need to know a little bit from my point of view. I had one child at the age of 43. I desperately wanted that child. And I had a spouse at that time who wanted a particular sex of child, and I didn't care what the child was. There are a variety of reasons too big to talk about here that led to leaving, primarily abuse to myself and that child. That was very significant. But what I have to say is that I love my child. I don't care if the child decided, and it's not my decision, I don't have to live that life, but what I do have to do is love my child, and I do. I love my child dearly. And I do fear for what could potentially happen, and yes, it does weigh on my mind. You need to know what's happened in the community to me as a parent. I had to listen to my child by a teacher, a fundamentalist Christian teacher, being told that she was not okay. I went to Subway, and a classmate said, I hear that your child has, or the name of the child, has gone to the dark side and is going to go to hell. I had a person working in the school district send me a sympathy card, like you would send somebody for a death. I had an encounter, and what prompted me quitting working for the school district is that there was an encounter with two people at a particular building where I was in, and my supervisor did not stand by me and in fact turned and made life difficult for me, and I just said, that's it, I'm done. I'm out of here. So those are the things that are happening within our community, and it's not just to the people who experience the situation, it's also to family. But what you need to know is that I am proud of my child, and I love my child dearly, and I would far rather see my child make choices according to what my child has done, as opposed to committing suicide or being hurt by another person, well, mostly committing suicide because of the struggles of the judgment of others. When you take, or if you take, my child away from me, you are taking my one and only child that I love dearly from my life.
Anyone else want to share?
Give it about 10 seconds or okay. 30 seconds. There's somebody else out there.
Okay.
I really wasn't. Did I turn it up? No. Okay. I really wasn't planning on speaking today, but I feel like I have to. When I came out to my family, my life changed. My relationships with them changed. And I'll never forget when my dad said, you married a woman. Why did you come out? Why are you telling us this? And I could see the hurt and anger in his eyes because I was raised in a not supportive home for the LGBT community. And I responded that I had to come out because everyone like me is someone that you see as broken, dirty, and you need to know that you don't know who we are in the community. Because I am in the community. And the way that you've raised me has hurt me. I'm so despondent to see what happened to a member of our community. And I'm glad to see everyone coming together supporting each other, and Tammy specifically right now. We need to stand together, and we need to stand up and make space available, safety for our LGBTQ community members. Thank you, allies, for being here. We need you to stand up and say, they're not broken. They don't need to change. We need to accept them for who they are.
Anyone else?
I'll just take a minute, and Senator Machicki has come in. Thank you. And Sergeant Brennan, I just want to introduce you by name so that people would know who you were. Okay, are there other? Oh, a Penny Vadla, excuse me. Penny, thank you.
Not in my role as the board president, but in my role as a family member. And my cousin committed suicide, and he was gay, and we all loved him. And he was an amazing young man, even though he committed suicide at an older age. And so that love isn't always there for people who are different. And difference good, difference okay, different is what we should all be, so that we can all share the uniqueness that each one of us possesses within. And I feel that that doesn't happen, having now people in my family who are transgender, who are not family members, but they are family members, because they're my kids, because they're people who I love, and I love their differences, and that's how life should always be. And I'm disheartened when I hear things that in schools, because as a teacher, I never was like that. Everybody who was different, I kind of liked better. Don't repeat that, please. I'll repeat it, actually, celebrate that. Because I really believe that kids, which we all once were, are looking towards us to make the decisions for tomorrow. And I'm not saying kids like Kagan, who I absolutely adore, just having known him a short time, aren't amazing, and they will be the us when we aren't us. So what we leave behind is really important. So, and Tammy, I am so sorry. I don't know why, as soon as they mentioned that, well, that's a conversation for you and I to have. I want to move forward, and as a community, we are a good community. We are a good community, and we do good things here, and we need to do good things better. And so I hope that by the end of today or sometime, we make steps. And I heard those steps from Kagan and from you, and I can't turn around real well, but all the other people that spoke already to you, thank you. So.
My name is Terry. I just want to speak as an ally. Part of me wants to cry, and the other part of me is just pissed off. I speak for family and for friends and for students, former and current. And I just have to tell you, these are some of the most courageous people you will ever meet. And they don't want special rights. They just want to take the rights for granted that the rest of us have. I watch people I love so hypervigilant, always checking around them, always looking to make sure it's safe to reach out and hold their partner's hand. I mean, I sound like a pervert mom, but just to see my kid kiss her partner is like, oh yeah, okay, that's nice and normal, I like that. You have no idea how vicious a small minority, but a very vocal minority, can be. And I'm enough. Enough is enough. It has to stop. And people just need to be able to live their lives without fear.
Hi, I'm Fiona, and this is more of a story about one of my family members. So I have a family member who is, he's my cousin. And how old is he? Well, when he was like 17 or 18, he came out to his parents as trans. His parents had raised him like, you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want to be unless I disagree with it. And that was one of the things that they disagreed with. So they kicked him out, which is kind of ridiculous. So I kind of want to say I'm sorry for everyone that has gone through something like that, even though I couldn't have done anything about it. It should not have happened to you. I am so sorry.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the LGBT community that would like to speak? Because next we're going to community members and allies.
Okay. Are there other allies, community members? And we will get to elected officials as well. We have not forgotten you.
All right, here we go. I always cry when I talk in places like this, so just ignore me. I grew up in a small town. It's called Healy. It's by Denali National Park. There's probably about 1,000 people in that town at any given point in time. The problem with growing up in a small town is that the groups of people who hate others are larger, and they seem bigger, because when you got 200 people that hate others, it's a whole 20% of the population of the town. So as a young man, it made it easier to fit in with that crowd. I'm not proud of the hate that I used to have. And not even necessarily hate. I just used to use language that was derogatory, not necessarily directed at anybody, but because it just seemed like the casual thing to do. I mean, you listen to people like Eminem who say things like that all the time, and you think, oh, let's just rap along with these lyrics. But I never rapped along with anybody saying the N-word in a rap song because I knew that wasn't okay. But it's not the way that I was raised that was a problem by my parents, because my parents are very open people. They accept anybody, whoever they are, no matter what. They would let kids in their house if they felt unsafe. My mom and dad raised probably 20 other kids in my hometown that are all very good friends of mine. But I just wanted to say that no matter how someone's brought up and how much hate that they have had bred into them, that you can change. Now, some of my best friends are LGBT, and I would never use language like that again. I would never feel emotions like that again. And in fact, the only people I hate are people who are intolerant and who use that language. And for a while, I tried to not hate anyone, because I thought, okay, don't hate anyone. That's not okay. But sometimes you have to fight back. You have to fight back really hard. You can't just accept it as an ally and say, okay, well, this person will hopefully be protected. You have to help protect them. You have to stand up. You have to be a shield. Sometimes you have to be a sword. And so I just wanted to say to Tammy, particularly, that I'm very thankful that she's a part of my life, because she helped open my eyes in ways that I didn't think would change me as much as they did. And I love you all. And Kagan, you're a badass. 100%. Just picture me hugging you super tight from across the room, because I didn't want to make it awkward, okay? Uncle Louie's here for you, buddy.
I'm looking at the sign behind Paul over there. And if you move just a hair, I'd like to read it, because it just, if you and I let hate in our community, sooner or later, it's going to affect everyone. And this is from Not in Our Town. A lot of the quotes on the wall are from Not in Our Town. And one of the things that was in the newspaper, and I don't remember who said it, but this was just one incident. And as we listen here, I think there is no one in this room who believes that there was just one incident, even the people you know, and hearing the other voices. So I would say that we can express power in a different way than hate, because love is not passive. It can be passive, but love can be a lot stronger than hate. So love can be our sword. So I'm willing to go at it with you with a sword, but we'll use the sword of love. But thank you. So are there other allies? Okay, where's Michelle? Okay, she said she could leap the chairs in a single bound.
Good afternoon. My name's Marty. I came to Kenai 8 years ago, and prior to that, I lived in North Carolina. I grew up in a small town where, when I was a kid, the word queer was just about the worst insult you could use for anybody. It was horrible. And I pretty, you know, I bought into that. That's the way I was raised. And then I went to seminary, and it was a conservative seminary, and it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't talked about, basically. I was blessed and gifted to work for a couple of years for hospice in Charlotte, North Carolina, where many of our nurses were LGBTQA+. Many of the nurses at the hospital we were attached to were, and I learned so much from them. I gained such a blessing from realizing that these are beautiful human beings that love just the way anybody else does. It broke my heart. Glad I have a Kleenex. When one of my nurses, our nurses, came to me one day just in tears on a Monday morning, and she said, "My church won't let me take communion because I'm a lesbian." That's just wrong, people. That's just plain wrong. And so several of us got together, and I had communion for them. In that process, my best buddy at the time fell in love with an assigned woman who was going through the transgender change, and that too was a gift as I learned what that was really about. She was not a she. She had been a man, a boy, ever since she was born. And I just think the world of him. He's a wonderful person. I pastored and now a member of Kenai United Methodist Church, and I want to respond to you. We have a sign, by golly. The Methodists in this community welcome everybody who walks in our doors. And we welcome you. And we have an awesome pastor
who has a wife.
Where's the mic lady?
Who moved all the way from Virginia, 7,000 miles, to come to where I could be a pastor and be wanted, because where I was did not want me or us. And we lived closeted for 3 years, and we are still scared to hold our hands in public. So thank you for a safe space, and thank you for two wonderful churches who are both here today. Two churches who are so glad to have us and have opened their arms for us. And we do have a bright yellow sign where all are welcome and all are safe, and all means all, because we mean that. And our church is going in that direction. And if you need somewhere to go, trust me, we are there for you. Here in Soldotna UMC, Miss Smalley, we are very much welcoming. So if you need somewhere that you can feel safe, you're more than welcome to come to our churches.